So anyway, this is the first of two kind of corporate-oriented panels, and as was mentioned, we're going to talk about the public offering process. So as you may know, there was a relatively major piece of legislation that was passed about 4 years ago called the Jobs Act, which affected many changes to the IPO process. So when the Jobs Act first came out, you know, there was kind of a lot to it. And with a lot of legislation, there was uncertainty as to which provisions would be important. What would the impact, you know, would this have on the IPO market? So now that 4 years have gone by, and there's been interpretations that have come out from the SEC, there have been a lot of offerings done over that time period. The goal of what we're going to try to accomplish today is to just try to give the highlights and basically explain kind of how the IPO process has changed as a result of the Jobs Act and subsequent legislation. In terms of topically, we'll give a very brief overview of kind of the market outlook. Then we'll talk about the key Jobs Act reforms. I'll focus more on the black letter law, and then Rob will focus more on the practical aspects from the general counsel aspect. Rob will go through an IPO timeline. We'll talk about the decision to go public, and if we have time, we'll get into some due diligence matters and potentially executive compensation. So this slide here was a very important slide. It was actually used during the congressional consideration of the Jobs Act. And what this slide illustrated was two things. Number one, there was this perceived problem and need for reform in the IPO area because, as you can see on the left-hand part of the chart, during the 1990s, there were a large number of public offerings, you know, well over 200, 300 a year, you know, reaching a peak of almost 900.